Welcome to the Goracom podcast, where investors discover great small cap companies. Thank you for taking a Goracom with you, and make sure to follow our podcast.
With the price of gold at a record high of $2,290, and the electrical vehicle revolution fueling unprecedented demand for battery metals, investors are faced with a pivotal decision. Do they gravitate towards the allure of record gold prices, or do they search for opportunities in the rapidly expanding battery metal sector? Green River Gold offers investors the best of both worlds. With a strategic foothold in British Columbia, Green River Gold boasts a portfolio of powerhouse projects of both precious metals and critical battery metals. And after going 50 for 50 in successful drilling at the company's Quesnel Nickel Project, the company is now going to commence placer gold mining in May. That's the announcement we're talking about. Perry, my friend, welcome back.
Nice to be back, George. Good to see you.
All right. So you got a mine? Where did this come from? Because all the times we've been talking, it's about the Quesnel Nickel Project and the unbelievable drilling results there. And now this headline specifically, Green River Gold to commence placer gold mining.
Yeah.
What do you have there? What's placer gold mining?
Well, in BC, there's two different sets of claims. There's placer claims and there's mineral claims. Placer claims are the gravels, everything that sits on top of bedrock. And mineral claims are everything that goes down from bedrock to the center of the universe, the center of the world. So basically, you could have the mineral claims and I could have the placer claims sitting on top of you. It's very rare that somebody owns both, actually. So placer mining is the oldest form of mining there is. It's basically just separating the gold nuggets and flakes and dust from the gravel. And it's just using gravity separation. There's no chemicals. It's like industrial scale gold panning.
I was about to say, we've all kind of watched, maybe all of us, but certainly most of us have seen these reality TV shows where George and Perry and a few guys are out there with a backhoe and a little bit of machinery, but we're essentially just really glorified, almost pan mining. I know it's more than that. Yeah. Is that what you guys are doing? Like, how does mining work on a placer gold mine?
Basically, you identify an area where there's some gold. The Cariboo's got gold just about everywhere, but it's got to have economic quantities of it. The claim we're going to be mining is one that we've watched mined in the past by a previous operator that had a small operation on it. So we've done some testing on it as well. Placer gold tends to be very, very unevenly distributed. So nobody ever does a 43-101 report on a placer. You'd pretty much have to dig the whole thing up. You're mining it in order to do the 43-101. So at some point, you basically just got to do some testing and jump in and do it. We're pretty confident on this one. But yeah, you basically grab an excavator, you dig up the gravels, hopefully near surface. This particular one is right at surface, so we don't have to go down 100 feet to reach some ancient channel or something. This is about as close to manufacturing as you're going to get with a placer project. But you dig the stuff up with an excavator, put it into a rock truck or a dump truck, haul it over to your wash plant, and we have a big trommel, which is a big rotating barrel that basically you spray water into it, high pressure, you know, wash off all the rocks. The big stuff falls out the end, and the smaller stuff goes down across a sluice box where you've got some riffles, which are like artificial rapids, and some miner's moss or mats in there to catch the heavy material. Gold is one of the heaviest materials, so it'll stop little tiny flakes of gold and, pebbles will shoot right over the top of it. So it's pretty effective. We have some experience at it, actually. So I should say we've got Gold Rush Supplies is our private company and affiliate. And we ended up, through a long series of events, operating a store and a shop. We build equipment through that private company for the placer miners. We supply them with the materials, the supplies, the gold pans, the metal detectors, and that's 45 minutes away from where we're going to be mining. So this isn't new ground for us. We've had these placer properties right from the start, actually. My original idea with Green River Gold was we were going to be involved in placer mining. And what I wanted to do was get a cash rent for the claims. from other miners and let them do some of the development work. It sort of works. It didn't work out as quickly and as efficiently as we'd hoped. But the idea was to have revenue so that we would cover off all of our operating costs and not have to be raising money just to pay the managers, right?
Hold on, Perry, before we go too far there, yeah. I want to bring you back. So what's the goal because I want to get to all that, but what's going to be the goal of this placer mining? Because obviously it's not a mine where you got 10 million ounces of gold and you're going to try and create $1 billion, but it's going to be valuable to you. So what's the ultimate goal of it, and why are you doing it now? Obviously the price of gold is playing a role. So let's have those two answers.
Yeah, I'll give you a couple of answers as to why we're doing it now. The junior mining markets have not been a whole lot of fun the last few years trying to raise money. Flow-through money we can raise fairly easily, but hard dollars have been hard to come by. And we suddenly realize we're in a position to create our own hard dollars. So we have the expertise locally. We've got the people, we've got the product, the equipment, we've got everything we need to do the placer mining. So when the gold price got up, and we were sitting at 3,100 Canadian today, right? And when you run the spreadsheet on it, it looked pretty good. So we had always said that, you know, we're going to rip the stuff. We're not going to mine it. We just looked at it and we said, hell, we can create our own hard dollars. We can offset our operating expenses with our own revenue. And we've got several other claims as well. So we'll see. We'll do one this summer and we'll see how well it works. We still may rent, you know, one or two other ones, but we're going to give it a shot. And, like I said, we've got the expertise. We have done this in the past with our private company a few years ago. So I even got my hands dirty out there.
So you can't really tell us, strategically speaking, covering your burn rate, covering your hard costs, because you talk about hard money. How important is that to the company? Because it puts you in a really different strategic driver's seat, right? When you go out looking for money, for the big money to drill like Quesnel and things like that, correct?
It means not having to dilute to pay operating costs, which is always a sore spot with people. I was a broker for many years, and people would come through the boardroom and they would always, we'd always ask, what's your burn rate? How much are you going through every month? And they'd tell us the number and you'd take a look at how much cash they had and you'd figure out, how much they had to go before they had to do the next financing. And when I started the company, I was looking at how do we create a separate revenue stream. It took a little longer than I thought to get to it, but the idea was to be able to walk into that boardroom when they say, what's your burn rate, be able to say zero and watch 12 people drop their pencils and go, what do you mean? You're an exploration company. How do you have no burn rate? So that's what we want to be doing. And then anytime we issue shares, it'd probably be flow through shares. And we'd be using that money directly to go into the ground for exploration for the hard rock properties, because we've still got the Quesnel nickel property and Kaimara silver and Fontaine gold. I mean, we're still very much a hard rock company. This is to create revenue to offset expenses. And hey, who knows, maybe we'll exceed our expenses, our operating expenses. We'll see. If it goes well, there's no reason we can't set up two or three of these next year. So
there's a question for you. You're not just taking a shot in the dark, because you've had other people kind of doing this on this claim before. So you know it's there, but you really don't know. I guess people might, because I can hear people at home thinking, well, how much money are they going to make? Yeah. But you really don't know with placer, right? I mean, you could pull out some monster nuggets, or you could pull out some little tiny flakes, depending on the day.
There's not a lot of nuggets in the Caribou. I'll tell people that right off the bat. So this is going to be, flakes and powder, more or less, and you have to be good at catching it, which we are pretty good at. We build equipment to do that. So we've got that expertise, and I think we're pretty good at catching the gold. And we've had experience on the Cottonwood River with our private company, and that was really fine gold on there. Not a lot of nuggets, but we'll be able to pull in some gold. We've got a pretty good idea what's on these claims. I'm not going to quote a number, because anybody who's done placer mining will tell you, you could mine all day one day and pull 5 ounces out, and you could mine right next to it the next day and get nothing. I mean, really, it's that erratic, right? And that's why nobody ever does a 43-101 on one of these things, because to do it, you'd pretty much have to mine the property. Right.
You so, wouldn't, yeah, there's no way to know until you know. So yeah, you might as well
you dig you the first three samples and yeah, you do the dig the first three. As soon as you get a good one, you're gonna say, well, send the geologist home. Let's just mine, right? That's it. So
you're starting in May. Awesome. Yeah. How long can you do this for? You know, generally speaking, how long will you be able to? October, November,
with our private company, we actually went, there was 1 year, it was just very, very slow start to winter. And we actually got right up to early December. Realistically, once you get to the end of September, you're sort of on borrowed time. And it's a combination of things. You know, once you get to a certain temperature, outside temperature, it's difficult, even if you had heaters in your ponds, to keep the water circulating. You know, it's kind of freezing as it's going down the sluice box, and the gold will start to float. The other thing is the entire area around the wash plant turns into an ice rink, and everybody there ends up with broken arms. I saw some guys try to work through December one time, and it was just a horror show.
Unless you build a nice slope there, so you know the water just keeps running off down somewhere. I mean, I just figured it out for you. I just saved a bunch of broken arms and legs.
There we go. And got us a whole, you know, another 6 months of mining. But the other thing out there, you're in the Caribou Mountains and the snow is just unreal. So even if you've got a short access road off the main road, you'll get in there and you'll plow, you know, spend half a day plowing 3 feet of snow off it so you can get in and do 2 or 3 hours of work in the dark, of course. And then you go home and you come back the next day and there's another 3 feet of snow on the road. At some point, Mother Nature wins up there. Everybody goes up thinking they could mine all year. Now, you get to the end of September, you're kind of on borrowed time. Realistically, you can get well into October most years. So there's
you know, sounds like you can get about 5 months. And I don't know, in next year, can you start in April? Is it you guys are starting in May because you decided to do it yourself and you took a little extra time, or May is when you start regardless?
We're still picking up a couple of the last pieces of equipment we need. The snow actually disappeared quite early out there. So the guys were out and looked at the site yesterday. And we could probably set up earlier. We just got to get the stuff put together. We made this decision. We thought about it for quite a while. Okay, we played around with the numbers and we kept looking at it and deciding whether we were really going to do this. And we finally made the decision just a couple of weeks back. But we knew that we've already got most of what we need because our private company's in that business. So, you know, we've got the wash plant. We've got everything available to us. We just need a little bit of the rolling equipment and that stuff's always readily available. So...
Hopefully, Perry, will you guys be able to provide investors with some video, you know, because this is going to be exciting, you know, some video of, you know, the actual scooping going on, but more important, back when you get back to the shop and it goes through the whole process you're talking about, because I think we'll all be excited. It's almost like a little mini reality TV series, the Green River Gold reality TV show, but it'll be really exciting to start seeing those flakes pop out.
Yeah, we'll shoot some video for sure. And I'll spend part of the season out there doing some of the cleanups myself and stuff, because that was sort of my job when we were doing it with our private company a few years back. So I'll be the guy who's actually handling the gold at the end of the line, right? So,
well, actually, I was about to say, tongue in cheek, but it is a little bit of a question. Does security become a little bit of an issue there? Because George can literally pop a couple of flakes a day into, I don't know, somewhere into a little pocket. Or I know you got great people. I know this is not personal to you and your team, but I guess generally speaking, there are some little security issues. I'm just more curious.
Yeah, we've got a couple of things that we can do to take care of the points, the leak points. Having been out there and done the actual mining, there's only one spot. And it's right at the end of the chain where you could lose anything, because even when you finish running it through the concentrator, you still got a little pail full of black sand and gold, and it's all mixed together, right? Somebody could walk away with your pail of black sand and gold again, I guess, at the end. But we'll have cameras on all the sensitive spots, and we'll have one or two senior people there. We'll have the sluice box will be sort of locked down as well. So,
you could hire me, but I'm not so sure I wouldn't be walking away at the pail either. Well, so I'm not entirely sure, like Lord of the Rings, if I'll be tempted with that what's in that pail? And I just, you know, hightail it out of there.
Things to people. It, you know, it takes does. Honest people and turns them dishonest. It's the old Mark Twain line about a gold mine is just a hole in the ground with a liar standing on top, right? And there's some truth in it. But now we've got good, honest people that I would trust my life with that we can put in those key roles. And as I said, I'll probably work from out there quite a bit this summer. So I think I'll
45 minutes away. So from the shop, I mean, that's the beauty of it.
Yeah. And, you know, set up my internet hookup out there and actually get some fresh air for a little while and, you know, wrestle some grizzly bears.
Well, listen, I got to tell you, if you've got decent internet out there, I think it'd be really fascinating if, you know, if we establish it, maybe do a couple of test runs, if we could do an interview from there, even if it's for 10 minutes. I know it wouldn't be like this, but 10 minutes where you've got your phone camera or your laptop camera and you're kind of showing us what's going on. I think we'd all be fascinated because not many of us get a bird's eye view of that. And it would be great if you could bring everybody into the experience.
And you haven't lived till you've seen me in a hard hat. It's funny. I'm one of those guys that put a hard hat on. I look more like an accountant.
By the way, you mentioned this, you alluded to it earlier. You do have other plasters. If I understand it correctly, but you're renting those out to like guys like George and other people. Why aren't you mining all those as well? What's the business decision there?
They're not all created equal. Some of the plaster properties we got are very promising, but they need to have the infrastructure put in yet. Got to put in the access road, you know, dig the retention ponds, whatever. And we don't have the amount of mining history on those ones. So they're more hit and miss. We wouldn't mine one of those with Green River, okay? We'd rent that to somebody who wants to go and take that risk. We've done some testing on them. You know, we're fairly confident there's gold there, but we don't have the certainty or the degree of certainty we do on these particular claims. We've got two that are not quite side by side, but they're on the same river and they're just ones upstream from this one. And those are the only two that we felt kind of fit the Green River criteria to go and mine, right? We're not going to go out and take that kind of risk with the shareholder money to go out and go after something that hasn't, you can't say proven in the placer world, but you know, we've watched the previous operators run these. We know the people we bought them for, that we know why they sold. And I mean, the small claims are about 20 hectares. So, you know, the fact that you've had a tiny operation on one corner of it for, you know, 7 or 8 years, you know, they haven't even scratched the surface of what's there. And so, you know, you say, well, is it all mined out? No, not even close. And there's way more left than what's been hit. So
and if we ended the interview there, that would be pretty exciting stuff. We got a really fun, active summer to look forward to on the placer mining side. But it doesn't end there, because on the last question I have for you is, you know, the biggest reason why we've been talking is you've gone 50 for 50 drilling at your Quesnel Nickel project. That's obviously your flagstone. What happens to Quesnel in the meantime? What should shareholders know about what continues or doesn't continue? I'm assuming it does, but I'm sure they want to hear it from you.
Yeah, we're getting geared up to bring the big drill out there and start the drilling program. There's still some snow. That's a little bit further up in the mountains. Still some snow up there. Roads are muddier than heck. We'll wait till that dries up a little bit before we go up there. And then we've got the permit now to drill 20 deep holes and do a bunch of trenching. So we'll be busy on that all summer. This will be a different crew altogether that's doing the placer mining, right? It's not to say they might not cross-pollinate now and then, but we're not taking people off the drill crew to do the placer mining. It's a totally different crew. So we're not going to interfere with that. They're still on the same timeline that it was. We've laid down the Winkie drill. We drilled in December and January and right into early February, actually, with the Winkie drill. And we've got, I think it's 5 holes we're still waiting on assay results on. So, you know, I'm making an educated guess that we'll be 55 by 55 or 55 for 55 next time we talk, but can't say that
World
for sure.
Class. That's Hall of Fame stuff. To summarize, what's great about, you know, this video we've done here is Green River Gold is now providing short-term cash flow, long-term upside potential on the Quesnel Nickel project. By the way, you do have other, you have the Fontaine Gold project. We're not going to get to those today, but great short-term cash flow, which means you don't have to go hat in hand, you know, asking for those hard dollars. You can just focus on getting the right flow through deals in order to move the major projects forward. So we don't know, by the way, technically speaking, we don't know. I mean, there is a zero, there is a small chance you may get zero out of all this. We don't think that's going to happen, but we won't know until September, or maybe earlier, depending on when you guys decide you might start reporting these results. But it sounds like that's how Green River is shaping up. And I think that's great. Short-term cash flow, pay the expenses, pay the cash expenses, and then set up for the long-term, hopefully the long-term win on Quesnel Nickel, Fontaine Gold, and the other great BC projects you have. But you've positioned the company a great place, Perry.
Oh, thanks, George. We're making it up as we go along, but going back to placer mining, it was an odd turn of events for us when we sat back and we looked at it and we thought, this is crazy. We can create our own hard dollars. But, you know, why don't we do it? We've got all the pieces for it. And that was, you know, was that a fluke or good planning or what? I don't know. But it's kind of fun to go back to the placer thing.
The price of gold also makes it kind of fun, right? Seeing this happen. And Perry, which is gold, look, predictions on gold either, but there are enough intelligent people out there right now, and I'm not talking about the gold bugs and the gold maxis, but I'm talking about, you know, people like Peter Brandt, I've mentioned it before, one of the best technicians on Twitter, now X, who has been gold neutral for years to the chagrin of everybody in the gold space and got a lot of criticism, but he's been right. And just a month and a half ago, maybe a month ago, he says, I'm seeing 2,500 to 2,700 gold in 2024. So that's, which is, you may have the same success as others have had, but get that much more money out of it at the end of the day.
We looked at those claims and what we know about them. And, you know, the fact that the one of the things you look at is, you know, did the same guy go back and mine it year after year after year, right? Because if he wasn't getting anything out of it, he's not going back the second year. He's certainly not coming back the third year. So in both cases, these two that are side by side, by the way, there's about 250 hectares contiguous there. So, you know, there's lots more spaces we could mine on it. But we looked at the fact the guys continued to go back all the time, but they were doing that when gold was 1700 Canadian, right? And lower. And we're at 3100.
They're showing up year after year. So it was paying.
Yeah. So I, you know, we got a pretty good feel about these things. You never take anything for granted, right? It's a business and placer is finicky, you know, so we're not going to make projections as to what we're going to do. We've sort of run the numbers. We figure in a worst case scenario, we'll still do pretty good. And, you know,
There's historical reason to believe that this will have some level of success. We just don't know what level of success, and that's what's going to make it exciting. You know, it's great to know. I'll finish off with this. It's great to know that you are one of the rare juniors that has that option, you know, that can generate potentially decent short-term cash flow, maybe a lot. We'll see by how this all plays out. Whereas other companies just don't have that. And they're constantly looking for hard dollars to pay for, you know, the expenses of running a company, and they can't live on flow through. So fingers crossed, let's see how that goes, Perry. I can't wait to have you back when you've got more info for us. It would be great. I'm going to put out there for shareholders and to you, you're starting in May. So it'd be great if, you know, that week when you're starting, after you've kind of figured out the startup and all that, if we could do a little 5-10 minuter from the field, if you're up for that, I think I'd be excited. I know the shareholders would be excited. Yeah. That would be great.
That'd be great. I look forward to that. And give us a couple of weeks, get the kinks out of it and make sure we're running smoothly. You know, the last thing we need to be doing is trying to film ourselves when we're still trying to figure out what direction we're going.
So. While George is behind you, walked away at the pail. Hey, I thought George was supposed to be doing the interview. No, he's walking away from the person.
Somebody just walked off of their black sand and gold. Yeah, really. the one thing I learned about Placer is it's not like I worked at the GM plant when I was in university, and that was an assembly line where everything was the same. You never get 2 days the same in a Placer mine. You think it will be, but it's never quite the same. So
well, once you've worked out the kinks, we got to do it. I'm sure everyone would love it. But thanks for joining us today, Per. Awesome news. You keep inching this company along beautifully. I love it. Slow, steady. The turtle wins the race at the end of the day, and you're doing it. So can't wait to have you back, my friend.
Thanks, George. Can't wait to come back. Take care.
Everybody at home, you've been watching or listened by podcast on Spotify, Google, Apple, your favorite podcast platform. Even if you're watching on YouTube, but just playing it while you're driving, that's also a great way to get engaged with these interviews. It's been Green River Gold, trades in Canada, CCR, in the U.S., CCRRF. For those new to the story, and you're saying, hey, who are these guys that are starting a Placer mine right when gold's hitting record highs? Get to their profile page on Agoracom so you can get the 30,000-foot view of the company, get to know them, and then after that, head over to the company's website, do your deep dive due diligence, and hopefully they discovered your next great small-cap junior company. Thanks for joining us. Have a great day. See you next time.
Hey, guys. This podcast is over. But don't forget to help your company by liking it or even leaving a comment. And then don't forget to help yourself by following us on Spotify, Google, Apple, or on your favorite podcast platform so you will never miss another one great Agoracom Small Cap Podcast.